Welcome to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 57, and we are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. I am Natalie. I have my daughter with me, but she's not going to speak. She's only 6 weeks. And then we also have a Natalie and a Jennifer on the line. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
So, like I said, I have my daughter Ava, and she's just laying here on the boppy next to me. So hopefully she won't interrupt our mommy chat, because we have a lot to talk about today, such as drinking and wearing bikinis while pregnant, being on Facebook post-baby, and throwing a shower for grandma. So we still have some pregnant mommy betas. We're having such a big heat wave here on the East Coast, and we were driving today, and I was telling my husband, I'm so happy not to be pregnant anymore, because pregnancy and heat waves do not mix. How are you doing with that, Nat?
It hasn't actually been as bad as I expected so far, but I mean, you know, we're just technically into summer since yesterday was the summer solstice. So, I think that it's just going to get worse from here on out. So, and I'm also dreading that post pregnancy, like, you know, remember the night sweats? Did you get those after Ava?
No.
Oh, really? I had awful night sweats after Dominic, and I just can't imagine going through night sweats in August. So that's going to be kind of miserable. But I've been finding ways to keep cool,
like being in a bikini for instance.
Exactly. Yeah, we took a trip to the local community pool last weekend, and I didn't want to buy. I had kind of decided a few months ago that I wasn't going to buy a maternity swimsuit, most of all because I didn't want to spend the money, and second of all, I just don't think I'd be very cute in that.
No one is.
Yeah, so I just figured, you know, like, oh, you know, it'll be cute. I'll have a cute little bump. It'll be fun. And then when it actually came time to do it, I was a little freaked out about it. because my bump is not little. I don't know if you can even call it a bump. The other day I was in Trader Joe's, and I was holding a watermelon, and like three ladies in the checkout line were literally laughing at me because they're like, oh, look at, there are two watermelons, you know, like, that's, yeah, ladies, that's really funny. But it actually was a pretty good success. I felt good once I got there. I think I was more comfortable than I probably would have been in a one piece, because I haven't worn a one piece since I was, you know, 12 years old. So it went well. I don't think I got any stares. I had one or two moms tell me that I looked cute. I felt a little self-conscious, but, you know, who doesn't in a bikini? So,
yeah, that's true. But then I wonder, like, I considered that when I was pregnant, but my boobs wouldn't fit in any of my bikinis because they're so humongous. But so your boobs fit in there, it's okay?
Well, yeah, because my boobs
went, some teeny little bikinis.
Yeah, but because my boobs went down so much after Dominic. So I was like a C before I got pregnant. I went up to like almost a double D while nursing. And then after I stopped nursing, I went down to an A. So I'm only back up to, I'm probably just crossing into maybe D territory right now. So, you know, wearing a C bikini in a probably maybe a, you know, big C, small D cup is not, you know, a big deal. So yeah, they fit. I was more impressed that my bottoms fit.
Yeah, I ended up splurging for a maternity bathing suit, a one piece, because, well, the boobs issue, and I just didn't have the confidence to rock the bump that way.
And you went on vacation a couple times, too.
I used it three or four times, yeah. But it was $90, so it was a little bit of a splurge. Yeah. But, you know, and that's the kind of stuff, like our newborn clothes and my maternity clothes, where I kind of want to get rid of it because I don't want to do this again. But I kind of don't, because, you know, the superstition that as soon as you get rid of it, you get pregnant again.
I decided I'm giving it all to my sister-in-law to put in her garage because she's next in line. And then that way, if I really need it, I can get it back. But I don't have to keep it at my house.
That's smart. What about you, Jennifer? Do you think you would rock a two-piece?
I did rock a two-piece in Palm Desert. I think I was like 5 months and I had just popped. And I had bought it, but I didn't buy a maternity two-piece. But my boobs blew up pretty much right when I got pregnant and just continued to grow like crazy. yeah. And then I was lucky enough that my sister-in-law had accidentally bought some bathing suits too big at one point or another, like a tankini and a one-piece, and she gave those both to me. They weren't maternity, but I wore a one-piece about 2 days ago, and they're really comfortable. I know you said you hadn't worn them since you were like 11, but it's just so more convenient than, you know, sporting a two-piece in front of my father-in-law while I'm
so I'm guessing that this wasn't the tiny, sexy one-piece that you got for your honeymoon.
No, but I did buy a sexy one-piece the other day at Anthro that was on sale for like $30. Ooh. And it's strapless. And I was thinking it was pretty conservative until I pulled it up over my bottom, and it's almost like a European cut on the butt. Ooh. So I showed Tom, my husband, when we were at his parents for Father's Day, and we were all swimming, and I said, "Does this look okay?" And he's like, "Yeah," because I showed him the front. And then I said, "Well, wait, I'm gonna turn around." And he goes, "Well, I really like it, but maybe you should put the other one back on." But I'm totally for a one piece, or I mean a two piece for, you know, the bikini bumps. I haven't really seen anybody, but I don't go to like a local pool around here where I see it. Were you like a membership to a pool, or what was this?
No, because
I'm
just
looking
like
around
the public pool in one of the cities near to here, and I was, it was actually really nice. It was way nicer than the public pool that I used to go to as a kid. You know, there's lots of green, grassy, shady space for picnics, and the pools are really nice. And there, you know, a lot of people there, but because it was probably the hottest day of the year so far, but it wasn't crowded. There was, I was worried we weren't going to be able to have a shady spot for our picnic, and it was awesome. And, you know, I think it cost us $16 for the whole family to get in. And then we bought a popsicle. So, and we brought our lunch with us. And so it was really like a, you know, pretty cheap day. And it was beautiful. I was impressed. I will definitely do it again.
Wow. I don't think they have any public pools around here that you can do that with.
I bet Marin County has at least one. It might not be, it might be maybe San Rafael or Novato, but.
Do you get bikini waxes?
I do not. Yeah, that was another adventure.
Yeah, I do.
I can't see down there to shave.
Yeah, I did. I had to do that before I went on a few of our trips because I couldn't maintain it myself. It was,
you know. Yeah, I used this.
Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say now?
I was just going to say, I use this like little, it's like one of those like trimmer things. It's kind of, it's like a stick little shaver kind of thing. And it actually gets pretty close. I've used it forever. I only got waxes basically like for my honeymoon.
You showed me that thing when we used to go to that place on Chestnut, the Benefit, that did bikini waxes.
Yeah.
They did great bikini waxes for like $40 in like 5 minutes. They were the fastest around. Anyone who's in and around San Francisco, a good place for bikini wax. But
I got a new one. It's called Stripped Wax Bar. I don't go to Benefit anymore. They like rip my skin off. But
yeah, maybe they should take a little more than 5 minutes.
More time, yeah.
They're a little hasty, but we were in our 20s and whatever, it was cheap. But
did they shave your vagina when you had a baby, like in the hospital?
No, they didn't shave my vagina, but they did shave my vulva.
What?
Okay, you're Natalie's thing about vagina.
Shaved your outside of your vulva?
They did. I think they do it for C-sections.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I had a bikini wax, I think, on my due date. So a Brazilian.
He saved him some time.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, no, so I used that little stick shaver thing and just kind of did it blindly because it can't really cut you.
I think that thing is made for eyebrows. When we talked about this in our 20s.
Bikini too. They do. I think it's for bikini too.
It says both, I think, on the package.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it works. It works great. So, and it was, you know, I just kind of – this is maybe too graphic, sat on the toilet and kind of let the wand do the work, and it was fine. So cheaper than a bikini wax.
Well, I had my first post-baby bikini wax, and I had not had one since my like 7 month of pregnancy when I needed to go somewhere to be in a bathing suit again. And so, you know, that was 2 months of pregnancy plus, you know, 6 weeks of post-pregnancy. And I was like, yeah, sorry, I haven't been down there in a while. And they were like, actually, you know, because I had some laser done before I got pregnant, and then they wouldn't finish. I don't know why I'm telling you this. It's not relevant. But
no, I got one like 3 weeks following having Elle, because if I go too long, it's scary.
You know what? You wouldn't go 3 weeks after having a vaginal birth. Let me just say that.
No.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't know. But you know that you have an incision with or maybe it was a month afterwards because you have an incision.
Oh,
with
pretty close to the hair. I mean, with a hairline. Jeez.
The hairline. Ooh,
yeah. What if they ripped it open with a?
Oh, God, Jennifer.
No, I'm pretty sure I was, you know, I was responsible about it and knew that it had healed correctly. I mean,
let me hold this shut for you. Now rip.
I went within the 6 week mark. So maybe it was 6 weeks.
Sorry, I'm just like, I can't, because I'm thinking my incision is like right there at the line, and I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Wow. You're brave.
We really want those, you know,
yeah,
attractive beavers, I guess.
There's the show title. Yeah.
I couldn't think of a better way to say that. This is real girl talk. Good thing I had a girl and not a boy sitting here with me.
Oh, man.
Well, speaking of getting wild, there's a new study that talks about how moderate drinking during pregnancy does not have an adverse effect on your baby. Of course, it's not a license to go crazy, but this new study, it's a Danish study, says that moderate drinking one drink a day or less in pregnancy does not affect a child's IQ, ability to pay attention, or thinking process 5 years later. It goes on to say even binge drinking doesn't really translate into lower intelligence, although, you know, I think there are probably other adverse effects of that. But nevertheless, you know, it's kind of one of those things where if you go somewhere and you want to have a little glass of wine, you shouldn't feel too bad about indulging. I did, during my pregnancy, have maybe a glass of wine every, you know, week, maybe two. I'm nursing, and I still, you know, every now and again I'll have a beer or a glass of wine or something like that. So, but I always keep it at one. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm all for the very, very moderate drinking during pregnancy if you feel comfortable with it. I just, you know, I was thought in this study it was interesting that they didn't see adverse effects until up to 9 drinks per week. And I was like, wow, that's a lot of drinks.
That's more drinks than you have when you're not pregnant.
Yeah, no kidding. That's probably how many drinks I had over the entire course of my pregnancy. But yeah, and I'm more of a, like, I don't usually sit down and have like a full glass of wine. For some reason, I feel kind of guilty about that. But I'll do little sips, like pretty much every time, you know, a couple times a week, Sean will, just in, you know, the last month or two in summertime has come home and had, you know, a beer after work, and I'll have a sip or two of his beer. So, you know, it probably adds up to maybe half a beer a week or something like that. And just, you know, the last couple, weeks, but I try not to go overboard, but I try not to be too careful, because, you know, half a glass of champagne at a wedding or, you know, New Year's or something like that, I think it's silly for me to worry about it. I think if people want to make that decision not to do it themselves, then that's fine. But for me, it's not worth the stress of thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, I wouldn't drink to feel something. Yeah, I would drink for the liking the taste. If I want to have a glass, or like not a glass, but drink of Sauvignon Blanc at like a little afternoon brunch or something, that would be nice, but not to get drunk or feel a buzz. But what I do think is interesting is the Surgeon General has had these warnings on alcoholic beverages for how long now? Maybe 20 years. You know, of how drinking alcohol, pregnant women drinking alcohol can cause birth defects and yada, 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 and all that stuff. So it's just, that's interesting to me, of that being put on there. I mean, do you guys know when that was put on there? And
what, no, but research? I always read that and think, okay, if this is the first you're learning about this and you're right, like, oh, I should look this up, you and your baby are in more trouble than just whatever the alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm not saying that. I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying, or, you know, that people wouldn't know that. I'm just saying, like, okay, well, people read that on cigarettes all the time and smoke all the time anyway.
Right.
And they had to fight for so long to get certain things on cigarette packages. But what research went into saying, okay, this is definitely harmful? I mean, maybe in like certain amounts, but.
Yeah, I think that's the key there, the amounts. Like, they don't have any good data that shows one drink a day is safe, or two drinks a day or two drinks a week are safe. You know, there's not enough data. Like, maybe this new study is kind of a little bit more data building toward that. But I just don't think there's enough data. So their thought is, we just need to tell people not to do this, because if we tell them a little bit is okay, they're going to go overboard.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a, you know, better safe than sorry kind of situation, I guess.
I had one OB in Manhattan who told her patients a glass of wine a day because it relaxes the uterus. Which I was like, wow, this is the coolest doctor ever. She's not at all afraid of being sued, apparently.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, my doctor was basically like, and, you know, the company line is that you're not supposed to drink at all. I personally had, you know, especially in the last trimester, you know, a half a glass a week or something like that. So I think it's nice when they're honest with you.
And I read, I think it was on Baby Center or something, there was an article similar to this, and our mom was asking about if it was okay to drink a cup of coffee during pregnancy, and she was freaking out about it, or tea. And this one woman linked to a book called The Panic-Free Pregnancy, and it's written by an OB, and it's things that have really been, exaggerated by the media or blown out of proportion. To the point of scaring a lot of people. And I think this OB even recommended up to three drinks a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, or something. Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it's three drinks a week. But I went to the library to check it out the other day, and it was gone. But if anyone reads it, I think it'd be interesting to hear what they have to say.
You should do that on our book club. We'll tell everyone more about our mommy book club in a little bit. But that sounds like a good one. But, you know, because I have been basically pregnant or nursing for 2 years now, my tolerance is so low. So the other day my mom was in town and I went out for dinner with my husband and I had two glasses of wine and I did the pump and dump when I got home because I had so much milk stored up and I didn't want to risk giving her any. So I pumped it all out. But two glasses and I was hungover the next day.
I hate that.
Really hungover. I have no tolerance anymore. So.
And you're dehydrated from the nursing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Oh, I don't look forward to that. I had
the worst hangovers
ever after. Yeah. And even after like a glass or two. Oh. And you're a lightweight too. I mean, that part's kind of fun. You're like, ooh, I feel kind of tipsy after a glass of wine. But yeah, the hangovers are not cool.
Not cool. Not cool.
But I did get my mojo back eventually. It just took a while. You know, like the hangover thing didn't last forever. I eventually kind of was able to drink again like a normal person.
But you worked hard to
strengthen that party muscle back up. You know, I should have joined team in training or something like that to, you know, build my tolerance back
We're
up.
Like, where's Natalie? She's on a bar run. She's at the bar. It's Tuesday at lunchtime. She's got some training.
Part of a regimen, man.
All right, well, we have more to talk about. Before we do, we want to thank our show sponsor, Gazelle.com. Gazelle.com is a wonderful place for you to go and sell your used consumer electronics. You probably know that Apple launched a whole new line of MacBooks, new software for iPads and iPhones, MacBook Airs. So if you're looking to get rid of something and upgrade, go to Gazelle.com, tell them what used consumer electronics you have laying around the house, cameras, cell phones, tablets, laptops, and they will give you a price for that value for that item. If you agree to it, you send it to them. They'll help you. Any item over $1, they pay for shipping, or they'll help you print out a shipping label. They'll even send you a box if it's hard to get to them. And then you get paid for that thing. You either get a PayPal payment, a check in the mail, or an Amazon gift card. So it's so easy to get rid of things and upgrade. You know, consumer electronics, they move fast. So if you want to make sure that your consumer electronics do not get out of date and keep up, then go to Gazelle.com, tell them the Mommy Beta Podcast sent them. Thank you very much, Gazelle. Moving on, I wrote a post last week about something called a granny shower. And I know we've been talking a lot about, you know, when it is and isn't appropriate to throw a shower for someone. And I think this idea is so cute. It's not for the mommy at all. It's for the granny. So the idea is that, you know, if you're a first-time grandma, you need stuff around your house for your grandkids to come over and visit. So, you know, it's not a full-blown shower where you play the games and things like that, but maybe a couple friends take you out for drinks and give you some gifts. I just love this idea, and apparently it's catching on because I Googled it and it's becoming a bit more of a thing. But I wish I had done this for my mom or my mother-in-law. What do you guys think of the granny shower? Cute, huh?
I think this is super cute. My mom would have loved it, especially with triplets with my sister. Oh, and it's great when I go home to Arkansas now that she's, you know, 3 or 4 years younger than the triplets. We usually borrow things from, you know, neighbors or something like that, but it's nice to give them a little attention because it's a really big deal to be a grandma.
Yeah, especially for a first time. They go crazy. My mother-in-law, she has high chairs, ride-on toys, bouncy seats, a little pool, swings, strollers, car seats. She just, potty training seats she just bought. You know, she's always thinking, what will make my house great for my grandkids? And it works because we left her house this morning and we were leaving and Miles pointed to her street and said, that's the way to Grammy's house. It's fun. Oh. He said, it's fun there. Fun there. Because she has all the great toys, but she had to pay for that herself, whereas most of the things we have laying around our house for babies, you know, we got as gifts. So, Yeah, I think that's such a fun thing. I'd be interested to hear if any of our listeners have done this for their parents or, but I don't know who should initiate a granny shower. I guess a friend of grandma, right?
Yeah. Well, maybe the mommy to be could reach out to the either to host it, or you could reach out to a friend, like the best friend of the granny to be, and see, you know, if they like the idea, if they think it would be fun, or if the friends would be up for it. Cause I think, well, when you get older, I mean, you just celebrate so many of these things, it seems younger in life. And then when you get older, there's not much celebrating going on for you. And so I think that's what makes it extra special.
Yeah. I think it's very sweet. I know for when I registered for Dominic, I put some items on there for grandma. So I put like an extra pack and play and a, like an extra lightweight stroller or something like that. So a couple of the things that she has came from my registry, but I think it does make sense to maybe, you know, do things a little separately for granny, just as more of a celebration even than the gifts, you know, to you go out to dinner with friends and just as an excuse to kind of, you know, put a funny hat on grandma and make her, you know, the center of attention for a while because she doesn't get that very often.
Yeah. How long do you think before Hallmark picks up on this and starts making cards for grandma to be? I've never seen one like that. Have you?
Grandma to be. I don't know. I don't think I have. I'm pretty funny with cards, though. I'm on a make your own card kick because I can't stand to pay $5 for a card. And I figure Dominic is a good excuse because he makes really cute little cards. So we've been avoiding the card aisle lately and been doing handmade finger-painted cards.
Well, maybe you should sell those. And that'll be handmade finger-painted grandma-to-be Hallmark cards. Or not Hallmark, Gafori cards. That'll be our million-dollar idea.
Yeah, that's the idea. All right.
I love it. Well, you know, Treat, you know, Tiny Prints card site, they separated those. Those cards are actually cheaper than what you buy in the store. I think you can usually get them for like $3 mailed or something like that.
Those are really cute cards.
Yeah, and you personalize them with photos and names. And in most cases, they have deals or specials. So you look out when holidays are coming up to get a free card. And if you like their Facebook page or the Facebook page, they have a deal every Thursday. And I think today's is 40% off photo gifts at their site, but it's only for today. So those are always good savings.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Good tip.
All right. Well, you mentioned Facebook page. Let's talk a little bit more about Facebook because there's another study that I think, Natalie, you found this about how moms who recently have given birth spend more time on Facebook. Now, that seems like a big fat no duh. Because we're on Facebook a lot. But it's interesting, the conclusion that they draw here is that the amount of time that you spend on Facebook may influence how well you adjust to parenthood. And I think about how often I look to Facebook for camaraderie, especially when I remember, you know, there's a friend of ours who just had her little girl is 6 or 7 months, Susanna. And her little boy is 3, I think. And so she went through very similar, you know, little girl after a little boy and, you know, little boy's in daycare. She's not sleeping. And so I think about her status updates and think, well, everyone's going through this. It's not just me. So maybe not commiserating, but the community experience is really important to motherhood. Is that how you guys feel, Jennifer?
Yeah. Sorry, I was on mute. But Facebook is, I mean, I think when any of us are, well, most of us were working full time before we had the baby. So following the baby, we're a lot more time on our hands. We're nursing a lot. So, of course, I was spending more time on Facebook. I agree. It does make me feel better to see what other parents are going through and to throw out questions that my experienced parent friends can write about. And I mean, I never thought of it questioning whether it helped me more in parenting or not, but I guess it did. Thank you, Facebook. You're good for something. They're wasting my time and saving me money on gossip magazines.
But yeah, this is it's a better way to think of it. I recently read something that said that Facebook can be held or is mentioned in something like 30% of divorce cases.
Oh, jeez.
And so, you know, there's definitely more nefarious ways to use Facebook. But again, I think it's the community that is can be really important.
Yeah, I like, you know, I know I asked questions and got a lot of great feedback on Facebook and just kind of you know, to put up a post and have somebody go, oh yeah, I went through the same thing. Here's what helped. I feel like I've gotten some really great suggestions off of Facebook, and also some great just kind of like solace in the fact that other people are feeling like I'm feeling.
And it's also great for, you know, organizing get-togethers and things. I mean, most of us are part of mothers' clubs or groups. And Alex is, too, our other mommy beta who lives in San Francisco. But what she and her mother club friends did is they created a different page on Facebook that was something that they had access to all the time and was easier to follow. So they could easily write, hey, I'm heading over to the park. Anyone want to join me? I'm walking down the street for a cup of coffee. And so it helped them, you know, get together a lot faster and easier and, you know, during their downtime and all that stuff, which is always good for new moms who can sometimes be all by themselves for a while. Lost.
Yeah, I think that you feel less lonely with Facebook, too. I don't know. It's like your friends are always there.
Yeah, and we probably, like Jennifer, you said, well, I hadn't thought about it, but I do sometimes think about what it would be like if I didn't have any kind of online communication and go through parenting. There's so many experiences that I would think that I was alone in. And so it does take a village, and I think, Natalie, you wrote a post on mommybeta.com once about how, you know, the village is really electronic, and so that's why it makes it easier for us.
And can you imagine not being able to Google? You know, like I can never remember
that would be good
correct
for me.
Temperature for an infant. Like I cannot remember it. So every time I think somebody has fever, I need to Google it. So I just can't imagine not having access to that information.
Mm-hmm. No, me neither.
And we wouldn't be able to ooh and on over each other's toddlers and funny things they say and share pictures with the grandparents. So
yeah.
Thank you, Internet.
That's true. And I remember the first couple of times, you know, I was posting on Facebook when I had Miles. I was like, all I really want to see, like, I just want to keep track of how many people think that he's so cute. And the same thing happened the night I had Ava. I just wanted to see all my, like, congratulatory emails. So when I was up in the middle of the night, you know, waiting to nurse her or whatever, I'd be like, she is so cute. All the congratulations. It's instantaneous congratulations. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Whatever you think about Facebook, maybe you have another electronic outlet that you use, like LinkedIn or whatever. But it's the same thing. It doesn't have to be Facebook. Although
there probably aren't very many babies pictures and such on LinkedIn.
Probably not. All right.
I post on there all the time. I will say this really quick, though. I remember a post that I wrote. It was one of my first ones, and I had said, "The mom I don't want to be." And one of those was that my Facebook page was just, or my profile picture was just my baby, and there was no pictures of me on there for months, or, you know, because I'd let myself go and was just focusing all on them, and my life was all about them. So I'm so happy that that's not happened.
Yeah, I was just going to look at your page and see if that's true or not. Let's see. Do you have any pictures of yourself? Oh, good. You're in all your profile pictures. That's a good one.
Motivation to, you know, hit the gym or stop eating Junior Mints.
That's true. Very true. Well, before we go, we want to thank one more show sponsor. BakeMeAWish.com is a place for you to go and order a cake for your granny shower, if you're going to have one of those, or your own shower, or any occasion. It's, of course, birthday season. So go to BakeMeAWish.com and peruse the delicious cakes that they have there waiting for you. There are several, and they guarantee the delivery on the day that you want them. So if you need them for a special occasion, it's not going to come the next day, which would be a huge bummer. It'll come the day after your party. It'll come the day of your party, wrapped in something that will keep it cool or keep it whatever temperature it needs to be. And they are delicious and cost effective. Make sure you tell them that the Mommy Beta podcast sent you, because we did, and we like them a whole lot. Thank you, Bake Me a Wish. We usually end our show with a little victory. I don't know. We talked about this before the show. Did anyone have one or no? We can skip it if you don't. It's the dull days of summer, so no one has to.
Every day is a victory. Well, tell us a victory of double parenting. Anything?
I mean, every day when I survive is a little victory, because I'm you know, only 6 weeks into having two, and it's tough. It's hard. It's tiring, and it's just tough to keep it all straight in your head too. You know, and I think I was telling my sister-in-law, packing the diaper bag is especially
challenging because, you know, I was just getting rid of diapers because we've potty trained Miles, and then, but I still always carry extra underpants and pants. And then now I have to carry diapers again and, you know, burp cloths again and all of that stuff. But somehow I get it done. And we've done a good bit of traveling lately too. And, you know, I haven't forgotten anything, left anything behind that was too dire. So,
wow.
Yeah, I'm getting it done, but I do feel like my there's a lot of CPU going on in my head to compute everything that I need all the time. So.
How is Miles adjusting? Is he big brother, or is there been any jealousy?
A little bit of that, yeah. And he spent a lot of time with cousins as well as his sister lately. So he's, you know, becoming territorial about his toys anyway, not just from Ava. And you can tell, you know, there are things that he's doing where he might act out a little to get attention, and he's trying to kind of continually. He's especially a bit more clingy for me, even though I have help like grandparents and aunts and uncles that have been helping. He wants mommy. And so it's been a bit of a challenge, but, you know, he's adjusting in a way that I think is still pretty normal. And sometimes he'll just get overwhelmed, and, you know, there has been a little regression of potty training, but not too bad.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. And it's only when I know he's overtired and just not going to do it, you know. But we've had pretty successful potty training, you know, lately. He's stuck with it and telling us and using potties, you know, out of the house a lot. So it's been good. We did a whole almost a week at my mother-in-law's, and he didn't pee on our carpet at all. That was great.
Yeah, nice. I feel like I know Dominic is way better when he's at grandma's house. Like, I don't think he's ever had an accident there. Whereas, you know, he'll have one every once in a while here, but he's on top of it at grandma's house.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Maybe he knows Donna will lay down.
Yeah, lay the snack down.
Leave him outside all afternoon.
Yeah, Miles, he was really good at my mom's house, but my mom is she's such a neat freak that she basically had her whole house recarpeted when my sister's dog went on her carpet. And so I was like, oh no, what's she going to do if Miles has accidents? And Miles is playing peekaboo in her closet, and she has a walk-in closet with a sliding door, and he kept opening the door and closing and opening and closing. And then the door stayed closed just a little too long.
Oh, no.
And I hear this little poo-poo, poo-poo. And so we open I open the door, and there's Miles standing in her closet. He goes, yeah, I do poo-poo on the floor in the closet.
Oh, no.
And I said, yeah, you did. But thankfully, it was one of those that you could just pick right up and throw away.
A log.
Yeah, yeah. It happens.
Oh, that's cute.
Anyway, point is that we're getting it done. We're getting it done. And that's all that any mom can hope for, right?
Congrats. Yeah, it's huge.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today on the Mommy Beta podcast. We would love to hear what you have to say about any of this, whether it's drinking or wearing a bikini while you're pregnant, being on Facebook. You can tell us what you think of Facebook while on Facebook on our Facebook page. That's very meta. Or throwing a Grammy shower, any of that. You can find us at mommybeta.com. We're mb@mommybeta.com. That's our email address. And let's see, how else can they reach us? Twitter.com/mommybeta. Thanks so much. It was good to chat with you, gals.
You too.
Bye, ladies.
Bye.